We're in Hilchas Svira. I think everyone's getting pumped to take a shave tomorrow. Last time for the next 2 weeks. And Shin, that beer coming off?
Definitely.
Possibly.
Yeah, definitely coming off.
Well, nice. If you do some shtick, your mother's stuck with it for the next 2 weeks after that also. So.
Don't try it in my house.
No, she'll find the heter.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, okay, so we are in Sira. Kof Chaf. Here goes. Oh, so last time we spoke out, I left Doylem with the question of why exactly are we celebrating that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim all died, and they stopped dying because there was no one left to die. So I saw from the Chidah, I think the Chidah is the one that says that as long as there were Talmidim alive, so there was still the problems that Rabbi Akiva had in his yeshiva. And once they all were nifter, so Rabbi Akiva was able to start again. And that's the celebration. The celebration is that Rabbi Akiva is able to start again. And this time, the Gemara actually says he gathered 5 Talmidim from the south. Again, after the Churban, so the Sanhedrin moved up north. And he went down south to find some Talmidim over there. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua. And together...
I'm related to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler.
Oh, yeah?
All the way up through Rashi.
That's so cool. So yeah. You're from Judah. But it's your mom or your dad? Father? Mother. Okay. So maybe you're not from Judah, but okay, whatever. But that's pretty cool, Yichus. Yeah, so Bekitzer, what Lag BaOmer is the giving Rabbi Akiva the ability to start all over again. And that's the celebration of Lag BaOmer. That's one shot. Another pshat I saw, very interesting pshat, was that every single year the Talmidim would die and in Lag BaOmer they would stop dying. They didn't all die in 1 year. They died in a few different years, but it seems that Lag BaOmer itself was a day that they didn't die on. And therefore there seems to be something special about Lag BaOmer, which brings us to the other concept, which is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Yahr Zayin, and he was actually one of those 5 Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva got together. So Rabbi Akiva started his new yeshiva with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and that Torah that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave Klal Yisrael is all through Rabbi Akiva, and therefore there's something special about that day. It happens to be that they stopped dying on that day because there's some sort of kedusha over there. If anyone hears any other answers, I'd love to hear them, and we could keep that forum open. Now in Sifkat and Zion. He says like this. Some people have the minhag that they keep on shaving and listening to music and whatever until Rosh Chodesh and including Rosh Chodesh, which means they're going to tomorrow still and on Shabbos technically. And then on Sunday, that's when they start keeping the Dinim of Sfira. Shehem Shisha Asar Yoyim. So then it turns out that they're only starting after 16 days of Svira, right? Tonight is 15, today is 14, tonight is 15, 16, and they're starting on the 17th day. So they have to go for 33 days. That's pretty much all the way till the end. And therefore... They're going till Erev Yoim of Chag HaShavuos. Become Makam Yoim Lag BaOmer Ba'atzmei Matirin. On Lag BaOmer they're allowed to, and on Erev Shavuos they're also allowed to. Yesh Kamish Matirin Ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar V'Lo Ad B'Chlal. Some people already tomorrow are stopping. I mean on a regular year, which means on Rosh Chodesh already they're keeping, which is 3 days earlier. Of Yom Rishon the Rosh Chodesh Maschol Ha'Iser, so Yom Rishon the Hagbala who Yom Hashloisha Mashloisha, and therefore 3 days before Shavuos already they're done. So it looks like everyone's already starting Svir over here. So this doesn't apply to you, but if you do have friends that are starting later, so there are two minhagim over there as well. Some start already tomorrow, and some people wait till the second day of year. I think a lot of people will not have any problems making chasanas on those 3 days before Shavuos if it comes up. And also like Ba'omer, Tzrichin Lenayeg B'chol Kehila Minag Echad. The Kitzur writes that every single kehila, every single community should keep their own minag. And people shouldn't be doing all different things. You come in and you're not sure what anyone's keeping. Today, this doesn't really happen simply because we don't have kehilas like there were in Europe. And back in Europe, and I guess in Eretz Yisrael, there was one community, there was one shul, there was one rav. And everyone did. Everyone followed suit. But what happened was once after Churban Europa, so everyone came to Eretz Yisrael, everyone came to America, and it became a big mesh of many different communities. So therefore today, you can't say that there's a specific place that has a specific minhag, and therefore everyone does what they're nayeg, even though a community itself, you don't really find such a thing. I do remember when I was in yeshiva in Denver, so the Rosh Yeshiva over there was the Talmud of Rav Aaron Cutler, and he was very, very machmed that everyone keeps how they did it in Lakewood. So in Lakewood, they kept the second half, and therefore everyone always looked, he felt it doesn't look right that people are playing music in the dorms and people are shaving and different things like that. Everyone as the yeshiva should keep one minug, which you might find that. You might find that in certain places. But that's the most you'll ever find, is that a yeshiva is considered a community. But I think even in many yeshivas, they do different things. Okay. We'll continue with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch maybe next week. So let's see some Gemara. Shimi, you looked like stuck. Did you do that purposely? How did you do that?
I'm making a habit.
Okay. We're on Samach Beis, Amud Beis. The last time we learned about Rav Chananya walked into his wife after learning 12 years and she fainted away dead and he had to bring her back to life. So this time round, the Gemara quotes another one of the great Tanayim. I'm just finding my place over here. Rabbi Chama bar Bisa, Ozel. So this time it's Rabbi Chama bar Bisa. He went and he sat in yeshiva for Shani, for 12 years, Bevei Midrasha. He also, when he came back home, so Amar Loi Avid K'David bar Chachinoi. I'm not going to do like Rav Chananya ben Chachinoi did, that, you know, he walked into his wife and freaked her out. So this time, Ayel Yosef Midrasha, he came back to his town, and he sat in the shul in the local Beis Medrash. And Shalach Levesei, he sent a message to his wife, by the way, I'm on the way home. Always a nice thing to do. I heard from Chashuv Rabbanim that they always said, you know, if your wife's expecting you to be a certain time, you should always call and say what time you're going to come home if you're coming late. And even if you're coming on time, you know, you could call and say, you know, honey, I'm on the way home. It's always a nice thing. And we think it's like nothing, but they seem to appreciate it, officially. So there is something to it. There's a Gemara that says that he sent the Beis Medrash and he called his wife. He sent a message to his wife that he's coming home. So Asra of Oishia Berei, he left the son. Before he had left the yeshiva, he had a son, and his son's name was Oishia. So this Rav Oishia Berei came, Yosef Kamei, and he was sitting in front of him. Have Komishael Le Shmaita. He sees him in the Beis Medrash and he starts talking to him and learning. He had no idea this was his son. And Chazad the Komis Chadadi Shmaitse. He saw, wow, this kid, this Rav Oishia, he knows his stuff, he's good. And Cholish Daite, he started feeling bad. Amar, Yihave Hocha, Havi Li Zara Kihai. Had I stayed local, and I have a kid, And I would have taught my kid he could have been as stark as this guy. Little did he know, it was his son. All of Esay. And then he decided, okay, fine. He's left enough time. His wife now knows that he's coming. So he got up and went towards his house. Albaray and his son also got up. And come Kamei, and he came in front of him. So who savar l'mishale shmaitse? So he comes home, and he greets his wife, and they're so happy. He's finally back home. And then he sees this Ravashia, the kid he was talking to and learning. He comes also to the house. Obviously, he was coming home as well. But he had no clue it was his son. So he says, so when he comes in, kam Kamei. He stood up for him. He thought that he was coming to, you know, he had a couple of shilas about what they were discussing. He thought he came to speak to him and learning again. So Amrle de Besayu, his wife said to me, Ika Abba de Koy Mikme Bra? You have a father that stands for his son? So he's like, oh my gosh, this is my son. And he had such tremendous nachas. Kari Ale, Rami Barchama Hachut Hamishulash Loibim Heri Yinotek. That the three-ply cord, when you have a cord that's so strong that it's made of three different cords, so it won't break so fast. It seems that Rav Chama was a tzaddik and his father Rav Bisa was a tzaddik, and this was the third link in the generation. And Mamela, the Torah, we know once you have three people of tzaddikim, so the Torah stays by such a family. I saw in the Mefarshim, that means that even if somehow, chas v'shalom, one of the kids maybe goes off, but they always keep on coming back. The Torah returns to its hosts, which means, you know, you come to a new town, so you stay by someone, and then every time you come back, you should stay by the same person. So the Torah also, if the Torah was invited into this home, it had three generations of Tamidei Chachamim, so Loibim Heri Yenotek, it's not going to so fast leave this family. That's why we have someone like Shimi Bergstein, whose great-great-grandfather was Rabbi Yechanan HaSandler, and then he had Rashi, and then he has him, you know? So we have tzaddikim, who the Torah will always stay with. But the point is, you're just down the line from everyone else. And hopefully all of us are in that situation. You know, you could wonder why some people, you know, they were zecha that they came back, and the grandfathers came back, and some people have never come back. Could be because they had three generations of tzaddikim, of Torah, and therefore the Torah keeps on coming back. So that was the second example of a tzaddik that went for 12 years. And we move on to the last one. Rabbi Kiva was a raya de ben kalba savua. Rabbi Kiva was a shepherd to a very wealthy philanthropist. His name was Kalva, ben kalba savua. Rashi tells us, I think. But the name of Kalva Savua, yeah, he was one of the rich people. And anyone that would come into his house starving like a dog would leave the house totally satiated. So he's called Kalva Savua, the satiated dog, because he made his house very open to everyone that needed food. And so Rabbi Kiva was a shepherd for him. And Havi Chazise Barte, to Havi Tsnia Umali. His daughter saw that he was a tsnua, he was a modest person, umali, and he was a very uplifted person. He was he seemed to be a very well-rounded person, even though he wasn't someone who was necessarily a ben Torah, but he seemed to have very good midas, the Mefarshim explained. So Amra Le, she said to him, "Im mekadshana loch, if I get married to you, azalta l'dei rav, will you go to the Beis Medrash?" Amar la in, he said, yeah, I would. So ikachale betzina, they got married in secret. Vishadrase, and she sent him off. Shama avua, her father heard. So afka mi beise, he kicked her out of her house. Adra hanoa minachase, and he swore that he would not give her any hanoa from her nechasim. So there's a little bit of a stira over here that the Mefarshim ask, that it seems that she already sent Rabbi Kiva off to learn, and then she got kicked out of her father's house. While other places, Amasha, that Rabbi Kiva actually stayed with her, and they had Nisuin, and they actually had a kid or two, and then he went to learn. So I saw in the Ben Yoyada, he says that originally they got married, and then she moved. And then he went off to yeshiva. But when she got kicked out of the house, so there was no point in trying to hide this thing anymore. The whole reason why she had sent him off to yeshiva without actually doing the suin was because she wanted to keep this thing quiet. But once her father found out about it, and she got kicked out of the house, so there's no point. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva didn't suin with her, and they lived together for a couple of years. I don't know if the Olam knows the famous story of how every single morning they used to have, they had like mamish no money, and they used to sleep on straw, and Rabbi Kiva used to pull the straw out of her hair every single morning to help her. And he promised her, he said, one day, if I have money, I'll buy you it's called the Yushalayim Shel Zahav. It was like this beautiful sort of headband, which was made out of pure gold. It was the shape of Yushalayim. And one day he was able to keep that promise. But at one morning, they got a knock on the door. It was a very, very poor man. He said he just had a baby. And they don't even have any straw. Could they borrow some straw to put their baby on? And they were happy that them as poor people were able to even give someone who had less money than them. Chazal tell us it was Eliyahu HaNavi who was coming to encourage them that, they're in a better matzav than even some other people. So the mashmais of the Gemara is that they actually lived together. They had a few years together, and then she sent him off to learn. Azel Yosef Trei Sri Shnei Bavei Rav, and he went and he sat there for 12 years learning in yeshiva. He also Isi Bahadei Trei Sri Alfei Talmidi, and by the time he was done 12 years, he came back and he had 12,000 talmidim following him. He had become huge. And Shamela Husaba de Kamarla, he heard one of the elderly men of the neighborhood saying to her, Ad kama ka midaberes amanas chayim, how long are you gonna live? Like a widow. You're a live widow. Your husband's alive, but he's not with you, he's not here, Bakhlal. How long are you gonna go like this for? So Amale, she said to him, Ilididi, if it was up to me, Tsayas Yasvi Tresri Shni Akrini, I would let him go. If he was asking me, I'd let him go for another 12 years. Okay, before we get to the end, which maybe we'll do on Sunday, but I just wanted to leave you with a beautiful Ha'ara, which I remember learning this Gemara a few years ago, and one of the Talmidim pointed this out. There's a famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that says that Rabbi Kiva had learned before in his life. This wasn't the first time that he had gone to yeshiva. It's a Gemara in Shabbos about being Dan Lekav Schus, that Rabbi Kiva was a worker by someone. This is before he became the great Rabbi Kiva. And we did this in Archis Yosher, that after working for 3 years by this guy, the guy had no money for him. And he was Dan Lekav Schus, that maybe he... all his stuff was truma and meiser, and his pillows were donated to Hegdish. We see that Rabbi Kiva knew. He wasn't a total amaretz. And he had actually gone to yeshiva, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, but it never worked out. It never really worked out. You know, learning wasn't for him, put it that way. And he was done. As far as he was concerned, this is, you know, there's other great people that they could go learn. But for me, I'm a shepherd's my job. So the question was that, if that's how Rabbi Kiva felt about learning, that learning's really not for him. So he meets a pretty girl that has a lot of money, which he didn't even get at the time. And she's like, so if we get married, you'll go to yeshiva. He should say like, Rachala, it's very nice. I've tried learning before. It's not for me. You want a big tzaddik? Go somewhere else. I'm not the guy. And he doesn't say that. Maybe he did say that, but she convinced him. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says what really convinced him was the water. When he saw the rock and he saw the water dropping, dripping, 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 and making a little dent every single time. Obviously, you don't see the dent, but he realized that if it takes millions of those little drops and slowly it makes something, so obviously Torah also, even though I think, this is how Rabbi Yisrael explains it, I think that Torah is not doing anything for me, but it must be all those times that I went to yeshiva and I tried, it was doing something. And that's how he was inspired by the rock and the water. But he only saw that now. But how did Rachel convince him? What happened over here? Why didn't he just tell Rachel, go find somewhere else? And to that, this Bachar told me, this Bachar had very low self-esteem, and he's like, maybe there was someone who believed in him. And I thought that was a beautiful pshat. I told it to Rabbi Senta, and he says it's Pashat Emes. And I think I saw a similar pshat in the Mefarshim, that a person could do a lot of things if he believes that there's people who believe in him. And here Rabbi Kiva himself had gone to yeshiva, and he didn't really think it was working. But if someone's willing to put her whole life on the line, to say, you know what, I want to get married to you because I see that you have potential, then a person could do a lot of things that he never thought was possible. And that's a huge, huge limud from Rachel and Rabbi Kiva. And on the side, I also saw that Rachel herself was a very, very rich girl. She could have married anyone she wanted. So if she wanted a Talmud Chacham, why did she go after Rabbi Kiva? She could have gone after any one of the, the best guys in Lakewood, or the best guys in Yavne at the time, or wherever it is. So the Ben Yoyada says again, that she wanted the full package. If she just takes the Talmud Chacham and, now supports him by, taking care of him and doing everything, okay, so she took something who was pretty good and she made him even better. Here she was taking something from nothing, and she was building him up. She wanted to be able to take someone and mamish make him into a Talmud Chacham, and she was Zeicha.